Well, turn our Bibles this evening to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to preach a message tonight, calling on DoorDash. Anybody ever use DoorDash? Some of y'all used it, where you call them up and they deliver your food to you. I mean, they'll go stop by a restaurant, whatever it is, and you'll tell them what restaurant, and you pay them a little premium fee, and they'll bring that food to you. I mean, that's a pretty neat deal, right? I mean, you can get like a $7.50, you know, McDonald's meal only costs about $15 or $20. I don't know what. More than that, okay, I don't really know. So anyway, I'm going to call it on DoorDash. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Let's pray together this evening. Father, we're praying tonight that you would come and meet with us, Lord. Would you deal with our hearts, Lord? Would you lead, guide, and direct through the instruction of your word? Lord, I pray that you'd help us to really gather these things that we see. Take this message, this message of trust and faith. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be what we need to be with you. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hearing that, or is that just me? Y'all hear it too? Okay, sometimes I wonder if it's just my hearing things. Because I do hear, huh? No, it's kidding. All right, so the prophet Elijah. So he's here introduced without much background or description. There's Elijah. I mean, this is where we find him. He comes on the scene. We don't really get a lot of things going on there, a lot of background, but Elijah would become one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And here, y'all not hearing? We good? Okay. So Elijah was going to be known as one of the greatest prophets. It comes on with no situation, but before he would be this great prophet, there were some things that he was going to have to go through. There'd have to be some preparation in his life, right? Listen, if you really want to be used of God, there's some things that God's going to have to do in our life to prepare us. It's not like I like things to be everything goes my way, right? That's why I like. Don't you like that? Everything goes our way. But there's some preparations. And so Elijah started off in a hurry. I mean, he comes on the scene, and here he is. He just gets going. God gets going with him right away. He proclaims to the king of Israel that there would be no rain, dew. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he didn't just say there's not going to be. It says there that there would be there would not be dew nor rain. I mean, not even any moisture in the morning. I mean, it was going to be really a pretty miserable time. And so, of course, let's kind of say this. The prophet doesn't speak for himself. Right? He speaks for the Lord. Look at verse 2. It says there, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." So, This was for Elijah here. This was going to be a prophesy and run kind of day, right? I'm going to come tell you something, right? I want to tell you what God says, and once I say it, I'm out of here. He said, then you're going to go and hide by the brook, okay? So it's a prophesy and run. You ever had some information? We call it nowadays, we call it something like this, a a mic drop or something. You know, we just say it and I'm going to go. But here it wasn't just I'm going to say something and kind of like, yeah, I just said that. No, it's like I'm going to say this and I'm going to get out of here because it's about to get ugly for you. And so he had, so believe it or not, the king would not be so happy to hear that God was going to stop the rain. Wasn't going to be happy about that, which ultimately meant at that time there'd be no prosperity in the land. It would to stop the rain. I mean, you're talking about in those days, almost all nations were agricultural, right? And so no rain meant no crops. No crops meant the cattle, let alone people like water too, right? And so a drought was not just an economic strain during those days. It was the survival of the people and the livestock and everything. So Elijah became the bearer of really it's just a ring. I don't know what it is. Everybody look at the sound guy all bad. No, don't do it. Just the way sound is. Sound travels through air. And so we need some more moisture in the air. Anyway. So Elijah became the bearer of really, really bad news. You ever like do you like to be the one to really give bad news? Hey, I got something to tell you. I don't know what I hate worse, getting bad news or being the one that has to tell the bad news. I hate that when somebody, you have to say, especially somebody's excited, they think they're getting a job, right? And they're so excited they've already planned out their first three paychecks. You know what I mean? And you have to say, I'm sorry, but you don't, you're not getting the job. You didn't get it. That's disappointing. You hate to do that. Sometimes you got to tell news that about some situation or another, what somebody wants to do, what somebody wants to do with their life, this, that, the other thing. Being the bearer, you ever heard this phrase, don't shoot the, yeah, I guess some of y'all heard that, right? Don't shoot the messenger. Here's the thing. It wasn't his news. It was the Lord, right? And this is what being the messenger of the Lord is. Sometimes you're telling people things they don't want to hear. So number two is this, it's time to go. It's time to go. So sometimes God's way of providing protection for us is for us to be removed from the danger. That's the way God provides that protection, is to get us away from the danger. And God gives us that way, the way to escape temptation isn't to miraculously have the curse of sin and the lust of the flesh removed from you. Right? God's going to remove temptation from me by I'm never going to lust for sin again. Well, no, that's not that. No, because the battle of sin keeps going on. So God's way of protecting us and giving us a way to escape temptation isn't to remove what's already in us. It's to remove us from that thing. And many times that's the way God does that. It's for you to be removed from it, you and I. So, therefore, the escape. So, likewise, sometimes God's provision is in departure from the danger, as what we're going to see here with Elijah. He was to go hide by the brook Cherith. Now, if there's a place to hide away by a nice flowing brook, I mean, with its fresh water, it seems like a really nice place. I kind of just imagine sitting there on the side of the brook with a piece of, straw in your mouth. Just, they're all over there, no water, no rain, no dew. I'm hanging out by the water, just enjoying the flowing. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't that sound like a sweet place to be? And you're thinking, thank you, Lord. You're going to give me a little refuge while they're all suffering in drought. Right? And so, and all of a sudden, Elijah thinks, what about food? How long am I going to be here? Am I fasting? What is this, Lord? How does God get to us what we need to survive? Right? We need provisions to survive. There's things that we need in our life. We need finances to pay our bills. We need sustenance. We need clothing, right? Food and raiment, and therewith to be content, right? So do we need to figure it out on our own? Do we need to figure out and get a good plan and get it going on? So we need to use common sense. That's why God gave us a brain, right? I don't know how many times I've heard people say, God gave us a brain, we ought to use common sense. Don't just trust God. Wait, well, I mean that, but use common sense. I don't know if you've heard that. I've heard that from a lot of people. God gave us common sense for a reason. We got to use our brain, right? Well, not always. Not always. Sometimes God wants to do with us that which can only be accredited to Him. Look with me now in verse 4. And it shall be, God's telling him this prophecy, what's going on. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Wait, what? Right? I don't know what, I think there might be a typo in my Bible, right? Because it says here that the ravens are going to feed him. You ever, listen, God says to him this. He said, go hide by the brook, drink that water, and I'll have the crows drop off some food. Amen. That's the DoorDash of the Old Testament. Crows. You ever seen, like, when you think of a crow, like a blackbird, a raven, are you thinking of a clean beast? That was not a clean beast. Matter of fact, they couldn't eat that thing. They couldn't eat it. The Jews couldn't eat it. But that's going to be your waiter. What a ridiculous, nonsensical, illogical concept for any self-respecting man to believe. I'm just, really, God? You're going to get this old dirty, nasty bird? Wait a minute. I just thought about something. He ain't got no hands. So he's either bringing it with his mouth or with what walks on the ground and everything else it walks on. So you're thinking, I mean, I'm just saying, we just need to use our brains, right? No, I'm saying sometimes God wants us to do something that's so illogical. And God said, I want you to do something that is just, listen, what do you do when God asks you to do the unfathomable? Right? What do you do when God says, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do something that's so far out of your comfort zone, so far out, matter of fact, out of anybody else's comfort zone, and if you told them what you're doing, they're going to think you're an idiot. You ever been an idiot for the Lord? I mean, when I say being an idiot for the Lord, that's what other people say. I don't know. Something's wrong with you. That's probably a cult down there that's telling you to follow that stuff, right? If a Baptist church hasn't ever been called a cult, you're not a good Baptist church yet. They want to say, you're doing stuff. They're going to ask you, now you're going to church every day and all these things. You're doing all this stuff and it's going to be crazy. What do you mean you're going to trust God? So what do you do when God asks you to do the unfathomable? Look at verse 5. So he went. I feel like that. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. I'm going to tell you, listen, what do you do when God asks you to do something ridiculous? You just follow him. So I dealt with this morning in Sunday school hour. But following the Lord is really a matter of believing God. Do I believe him? Right? Do I believe God? Watch this. Now, we don't know much about Elijah. We don't get a lot of story. We don't get a lot of background on him up to this point. We know where he's from, and he's a Tishbite. So we know about him. And so he's from Gilead. And so here it is. Can I just say this? This wasn't his first encounter with the Lord. Amen? See, he had already learned to trust God. So now God says, hey, this is my way. Walk in. I want you to go do this thing that's ridiculous. It's unfathomable. It doesn't even make sense. It's actually pretty disgusting. I want you to do that. And Elijah says, okay, I'm going to go. We don't do that. We don't hear God the first time and say, okay, God, I'm going to do the crazy thing you say, until we've done the less crazy things. Right? God says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to just come to church tonight. Learn something. You know, I want you to give that track, just lay it on the table there at the restaurant before you leave. Right? I want you to just go up there and invite your neighbor to come to a church service. Just little things, right? You say, it doesn't sound little. Invite my neighbor to church. Whew. Okay. All right. God says, I want you to, you know, read a couple verses of Scripture. Right? I want you to just let your boss know that I go to church on Sunday. Okay. Well, man, that's big. I mean, God will take you back to where you start. Listen to what I'm saying to you tonight, folks. God starts where we're at. And he said, listen, I want you to do this thing here. And you say, God, that's really tough for me. By the way, listen, because it's easy for you doesn't mean it's going to be easy for somebody else. We're all at the place where God has us. And God said, I want you to do this. And we're like, okay, God, we trust him with that thing. And we do that and we find out, well, that's kind of nice. I like living for Jesus. This is all right. And then we find out, you know, I'm going to go, if I say this thing to my people at work, I am going to get ridiculed. I'm going to get fired. I'm going to lose my promotion. My career is going to be over. And I'm going to hate life. And then we do something and we find all those things didn't happen. Oh. You ever realize that most of the things we worry about never come to pass? Isn't that annoying? Because we all do that. Oh, man, this is going to be what's going to happen, you know. And then we do it, and you're like, none of that happened. You're like, man, I got an ulcer for nothing. Right? It's how we work. It's kind of how. So, listen, following the Lord is a matter of just believing God. And so, when you already believe God, you'll follow Him no matter what He instructs you. All right? So, when we will not follow the Lord, we reveal that we don't believe Him. Right? God says, do this. And we say, God, I'm not going to do that. God said, I know it sounds a little risky, but I want you to trust me. God, and we say, God, I can't trust you. Now, none of us would say that in this room. I'm not going to say I don't trust God. But when we don't follow Him, that's what we're revealing. So Elijah followed God's instructions. Look what happened here in verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So when I think of this story, this is just me. Our minds are all a little different, right? My mind's a little bit, y'all get to a lot of what's in my mind. It's kind of mushy sometimes, I know. But I can't help but thinking of that cartoon I used to watch as a small boy, The Magpies. Y'all remember the magpie? I don't know if y'all seen that. The crows, they would sneak up and they would steal the pie that the farmer's wife would sit out on the windowsill to cool off. And they would sneak up. I mean, they had their wings were hands in the cartoon. But they would go get that and they would run off with the pie. Why? And, you know, it was always a thing. And I was thinking, man, that'd be great to be a bird. I could go steal pies. But as a kid, you know. I didn't, in the commercial, in the cartoon, it didn't seem like it steal. It just seemed like you were just getting food. Anyhow, that's just where my mind goes. I don't know. That's where I'm at. Cartoon mind. I still like cartoons. I don't know. So Elijah was getting flesh, meaning meat, and bread twice a day. Twice a day. I mean, I bet if he had a watch, he didn't have a watch, but if he'd have had a watch, he could probably have kept the time by that thing. Could you imagine that first day? You're like, okay, God, you said it. I don't know how it worked. I don't know how. God doesn't give us too much detail, I think, on purpose. And so I don't know if he's there and it comes up, boom. You're thinking, oh, man, there's a piece of sausage right there, you know. And there's a chunk of bread. Where'd he get that bread? I don't know. How'd it come down? So here it is. And then a little bit later on that night, it comes again. I don't know. It's just amazing. It is so ridiculous that you can't fabricate this and you can't replicate this. Try to get a bird to do that for you once. Right? Let alone every... But he followed it and it goes on. And could you even imagine what it would be like to have God meet your needs in this way? Just unreal. I can't say that I can remember ever having a crow drop off some food that I would eat. I've seen birds drop food. Well, I don't know if it's food, but they've dropped off parts of stuff I wouldn't eat. But I've had God provide in some miraculous ways, folks. I really have. Unexpected ways. We had one year, many, many years ago, we were church planning, and we just the way it worked, I went to where we were planning the church was about an hour away from where I was doing a job, and so I would go, and sometimes I'd spend a couple of days, or I'd go back and forth, and I'd come back home, and so I was trying to go less and less so I could be there to work with the church, try to reach people in the community, and we're doing this, and we're getting where things are getting tight, and I realized we were getting to a place in our life that we were kind of cupboards were getting bare. You understand? I had this church some time ago. It called me and said, Hey, Brother Hewitt, we know that you've got a big family, so we thought maybe you could. We have a food drive in November for Thanksgiving. Thought maybe you could y'all use some food? I said, yeah, that'd be great. Now I don't know about you, but I've seen food drives. It's usually the stuff in your cupboards that you don't want. You know what I mean? Hey, we're having a food drive, and you're like, okay, and you reach back in the cupboard, the stuff that, and you're like, okay, I'll grab those things, and it's like, canned fish. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'd like sardines, but USDA, I've said USDA canned pork. I mean, they couldn't give it away. I mean, that's all they could do is give it away. And so anyway, we had all this stuff going on. And so somebody had told me, he said, yeah. I said, okay, yeah, that'd be great. Thanks. Can I tell you, folks, I forgot about it. I was thinking, oh, great. You're going to do something for this poor family, this poor big family. But I thought, thank you. You know, it was a church that never really financially supported us, but we knew them. They were on the other side of the state of Iowa where we're at. So anyway, we're getting there. This is a few weeks later. We're getting there. And we're looking at our cupboards. We didn't have no credit card. We didn't have no bank accounts. We were getting down there, and I'm looking in my cupboards, and we could count the meals we had left. And there was no cash to go get more food. And I'm thinking, I can remember at that time in my life, I was thinking, I wonder what God's going to do. Because I knew He wasn't going to leave me hungry. And I can remember, I thought, I wonder what God's going to do. This is going to be exciting. I had no idea. What God was going to do. It didn't. I was thinking, man, this is exciting. But there was one thing back in there. There was a can of Aldi's chicken and dumplings. I don't know if you've ever has anybody here ever had Aldi's chicken and dumplings in a can? Yeah, that's exactly right. Nobody would. I don't know why we even had it. Probably got it from a food drive. And it was there. I'm like, man, I don't want to eat that. I don't want it. Please don't. I don't want to eat that. I'm thinking, we're getting closer and closer to eating canned, all these canned chicken and dumplings. We're getting close to it. And anyway, I get this phone call. And they said, hey, this is the church name. It was Suburban Heights Baptist Church. And he said, could we, hey, this is, brother, we got that food we want to bring over. Would today be a good day? I said, yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I'm thinking, maybe some more chicken and dumplings, And he said, yeah, we're going to have somebody drive. It was like about a three-hour drive over, so somebody came. And so anyway, that day we were going about our life and did things. And say, yeah, there's people here. They come in. They come to our house, and they came with a Suburban. They had a Suburban, like Eric's Suburban right out there. They had the seats down. The back of it was chock full of groceries. They brought this thing out, filled up my kitchen, filled up our back. I mean, we had food everywhere. And so we went through all this food, gathered up all the stuff that there's no way we're eating, and it wouldn't fit in a grocery sack. Everything was good food. I mean, I thought, wow. I can remember sitting there thinking, Lord, I didn't think He was going to have a raven bring food. But I knew God was going to do something. I'm telling you, folks, sometimes we had so much food all of a sudden, I felt guilty about it. And so there was another church planting family that was a few hours over. We took about half that food, took it over, shared it with them. I'm telling you, God, and we ate off that food. I'm talking about for a couple months. I thought, man, God is good to us. Listen, God has a way of providing for us no matter what our situation is. And it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be. Matter of fact, it hasn't worked the same. That way it wasn't ever the same again for me. That was a one-off time. And God's done other things. God's done other things. But here's the thing. Number three, faith is an ongoing, growing situation in our life. Okay? Faith isn't something where we get faith. Whew, I got it. Like it's in my pocket. Now I got it. Now I got it. No, it's not like that. Faith is something God wants to grow in us. So I've got some faith, right? Remember I said back here, you know, I was able to go and give a tract to somebody. I can remember the first time I was going to go give a tract to someone. Now, and the pastor would always tell me, give tracts to me. And I can remember I'm at the grocery line, and I'm just like, and I'm about to give. This was back when, remember when you used to have ladies that would actually run your stuff? You didn't have to do it yourself? Anyway, so they were doing this, and I'm sitting there thinking I'm ready, and I'm just like, we finished. I pay the bill, and I'm like, hey, here's something for you to read when you got some time. It was like a prophesy and run. You know what I mean? I just remember being so nervous about it. I thought, man, what? You know what I found people would say to me every time I would do that? Like, thank you. That's what they do. And I do that. I say, hey, here's something for you to read when you got some time. I know they're working right there. They're not, oh, hey, let me just, no, people behind me hate me. But what I found, and I would do this going through the drive-thru or something, and I found over and over they would say, thank you. That is not what I expected. And so God said, why don't you go to the next thing? Now that you got that, now you realize, okay, God, I could trust you. Now God says, I want you to do the next thing. And so this is what God does. God wants to grow our faith, not get settled where we're at. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Well, there went the end of that cash cow, right? There's no more water there. We're going to have to move on. God will do what He's going to do in your life, and that takes some faith. It's going to take some faith, and you're going to have to trust Him. You're going to have to trust Him. But once you've grown to trust Him at the level that you're now at, it's time for your faith to be stretched again. Well, look at verse 8 now. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Whew. Okay, this is nice. Right? A wealthy widow woman has to be a better situation than a raven dropping off meat and bread from the air. Okay? I mean, I just imagine this was likely, I tried to look it up, and these where these cities are isn't exactly historically sure, but it's probably a pretty decent walk. Most would agree it's probably a distance. I imagine Elijah walking, thinking about how wonderful this situation's going to be. This sweet widow woman, I bet she makes pies, right? He's thinking, man, no more beak food, right? Claw imprinted meat. I don't even know what that was like. He's going, thinking this is going to be lovely. She's going to be so blessed to have me there. She's a widow woman. We're going to just fellowship, somebody to talk with. This is going to be great. This was going to be a really nice situation. I can't wait to get there. Have you ever been disappointed in your life? You ever been disappointed? I mean, you think this is how it's going to be. And it ends up being nothing like that. Right? You think, oh man, this is going to be wonderful. And then, kids get all excited to go to Disney World. Woo, Disney World. They think Disney World's great because they heard about Disney World. And you get to Disney World and the lines are 3 hours long. You're like, this is dumb. Right? I don't know what kids think about that. But anyway, there's sometimes you got this anticipation about what the situation, the best job you've ever had. Oh, this is going to be the greatest job I ever had. And you get there and the boss is a jerk and, you know, the hours are long and there's no good air conditioning. It's just miserable. I mean, just, I'm talking about, you ever been disappointed in life? Yeah, all of us have been. I mean, like you were really expecting some sweet situation and you found yourself in the midst of a sour one. Look at verse 10 now. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going forth to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. So number four, what do you do when things don't go the way you thought they would? That's going to happen. This is what faith is all about, folks. It's about things aren't going to be the way we expect them to be and the way we hoped it would be. You know, Naaman thought that Elisha would come and say something and he would call out to God and the leprosy would just do some, you know, thing and the leprosy would be gone. And he got angry. Remember that? We talked about that last week. He got upset. He got disgusted that it didn't go the way that he thought it would. It's only by the grace of God that he had a friend there that said, wouldn't you, if it was a hard thing, wouldn't you do it? He did it, and man, what is a glorious thing it was. Man, but sometimes it's hard. I think we act like that a lot as well. Something comes up, we're expecting one thing, we expected it to go this way, and when it doesn't, we get upset, we get angry, we get frustrated, right? I know I do sometimes. Here now, Elijah left the raven to come to this woman that's literally on her last meal. And not only that, but she had a boy. I thought this was a widow woman that was just, you know, okay, one thing, she's old, she's going to die, okay. I mean, not okay, but I mean, maybe he's there. But now, there's this kid. I mean, can you imagine? He's also about to starve to death. I mean, could you imagine a time you'd rather go back to the raven? Remember now, this has all come to pass as a result of the drought that Elijah proclaimed. There's probably some, did I do this? Right? Did I cause this? Listen, tough times really challenge our faith in God. Tough times really challenge it. But when we believe God, we'll follow God. Do you get that? When we believe Him, we'll follow Him. Look now at verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake. What's that next word? First. Make me a little cake first. And bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Can I tell you, folks, I love living for the Lord. I love living for Jesus. It's just when there are storms, right? And there's turmoil around, and it's like, this is not at all what I expected things to be. I could think, I'm in the ship with Him. And it's okay if He's sleeping. Amen? It's okay if he's sleeping. He's still, he know if he's in the ship, if I'm in the ship with him, if I'm following him, he's brought me here, I'm good. I don't care what's going on out there. But we're going to die. No, we ain't. If I'm going to die, it's because it said it's time for you to die. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I love living for the Lord. Can I tell you, Elijah didn't walk all that way thinking he was walking into a trouble-free, plenteous land of opportunity. Elijah wasn't walking thinking, oh, this is going to be great, this sweet pie. No. God told Elijah, I'm going to have you go save these folks. He's going, and God told him, he said, listen, you're going to go there, and there's this widow and her boy, and they're about to die. And I'm going to send you over there, and you're going to take care of them. I kind of imagine Elijah skipping on the way, man. This is going to be great. Elijah came into this situation glad to be a servant of the King of Kings. What I mean, I could see him smiling with a smile on his face, and this woman's like, I'm out here, I got two sticks, I got a little bit of meal, I got a little bit of oil, we're going to get this ready, and we're going to eat it and die, because that's it. And Elijah, with a smile on his face, said, you're not. It's going to be okay. God told me. I mean, can you imagine? Because I've thought about this in the past. Elijah said, yeah, before you go and feed yourselves, me first. He wasn't trying to say me first. He was trying to say, listen, God's already got this worked out for you. He's already got it worked out. Can you trust him? This is a man that was just fed by ravens for a while. He had learned to trust God. Can I tell you, folks, that story I told you about my life, that was in my first year of planting a church, my first ministry as a pastor. And God used that in my life, and it's been something that I've kept my whole ministry. This is 20 years ago, plus. And I can remember God doing that. And I mean, I've told that story many, many times because, you know, I remember I went back to that preacher. We went back to that church when we were going to Sri Lanka. He didn't even remember. Pastor didn't even remember. I said, yeah, man, you know, y'all brought that food to us. He's like, yeah, did we? It was a nothing to him. But God used it as a huge landmark to me. Right? Something that I've looked back and said, if God can do that, what else can he do? Man, I love living for Jesus. There's just something excited about it. Listen, Elijah had just been fed by ravens. He trusted God. Look now at verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Man, I'm telling you, trusting God, it goes from faith to faith. Just grows, you see. And God said, listen, folks, this isn't I'm really trusting God. Well, that's great for right now. That's not enough. God has taught us to trust him here because he's going to bring us out here where it's going to take a little more trust. And by the way, we're going to get down the road. We're going to look back. One day you're going to look back at where God has you now and you're going to say, I can't believe that I was worried about that thing. Right? I can't believe I was worried about that little thing. That would be nothing to me now. And at one day, it was fear and trembling and your hands shaking. And you're like, wow, where God took me from. Unless we never learn to trust him. Could you imagine still being at that very early place of just desiring the sincere milk and not the meat? Your whole life, some Christians, their whole life is still back there struggling with the very first things. And he said in one place in the scripture, he said, you ought to be teachers of the word of God. You have need that one teach you again of the first principles of the oracles of Christ. He said, you ought to be by now, you should be teaching others, but you still need someone to teach you the beginning things. I would be disappointed to go through my Christian life like that. And at the end, I'm still struggling with what brand new Christians struggle with. That's not God's plan. He wants to take us from faith to faith. It gets a little bit. But number five is this. Trusting God isn't always easy. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" We must learn that what God does, that's what I'm saying to you folks here, what God does, what He allows in our lives, He will take care of even unto death. Do we believe that? Some of y'all have had the stroke of death upon you. Death right at your, you know what I'm saying? Where some of you have been there in that place where death was a very legitimate possibility in your life. And God took you through that thing. When you get past that thing, you think, if God would take me through that, what do I need to worry about? God's got something planned. Look at verse 19 here. And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him on his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" Can I just say this, folks? Following God doesn't always make sense. Even Elijah's now, "God, are you slaying this boy? This woman is... You've used me to keep them alive and her to keep me alive, and here we are, and now are you slaying us?" It's sometimes it's confusing living for Jesus. It's confusing. It doesn't always make sense living for the Lord. But look at verse 21. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again. And he received him. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." I just like the way that's worded. "See, told you we could trust God." Man, don't you love when that happens? Because a minute ago he was saying, "Oh God, what are we doing here? I don't understand it, but man, it's so... Don't you just sometimes so badly want God's way to win out? Man, I love living for Jesus. It's just... Listen, I'm telling you, it's good to serve the God of all creation. I'd hate to have to sit there beg at a chunk of wood. "Please, chunk of wood, do something for me." You cry and you weep at that thing and it never winks at you, never speaks to you. Has nothing for you. A chunk of stone, nothing. Man, it's good living for the Lord. Verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true." That right there cracks me up. Okay, now, many days ago, she had decided that there were two sticks and a cake of bread between her and her son and her son's death. "We're about to die. I got two sticks, a little cake of bread, and we're done." Many days ago. But then after many days, your ingredients are still there. Every morning, every evening, they're eating. Right? How about trusting the man of God for that? No? No? If he's going to gain her trust, it's going to take a resurrection from the dead. The Bible is interesting sometimes, isn't it? You know what's really interesting is man, the way we are. We just, you know what I've noticed about people? We, We don't want to be perfect, but we want others to be perfect. We don't want our flaws to be judged, but we want to judge everybody else's flaws. This thing happens, what's going on, what God is using her to do and all this thing, and he comes and, you know, now she's upset with him. And she said, but now I know. It's like now that you've raised him from the dead, okay. That's sometimes just how it feels, isn't it? I mean, you do all this stuff, but this one thing, you know, man, listen, folks. Your job isn't to get them to believe in you. It's to live for him. Amen? I can't even get people to believe in him. My job is to tell people about him, but it's to live for him. And if we'll live for him, I'm telling you, folks, there's nothing greater in this life than to serve him that holds eternity in his hands. Man. And you know what he does with that? He shares it with us. I can't imagine spending and being spent for anything else. Will you trust him?